You're listening to the best travel podcast ever with Eric Hastings.
Well, that's true. Welcome back to the best travel podcast ever. I get a little more on my left ear. Right there. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, I was a little unbalanced. What are you going to do? You may be wondering, how in the world, Eric, is this the best travel podcast ever? And I'm going to explain it to you right up front, because perhaps this is the first time you're listening. So I'll tell you, here's the deal. This is the best travel podcast ever because I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you tangible tips and steps. I'll bet you don't know what I'm going to say next. To realize the potential that is within you. Now, hold up. This is not a self-empowerment podcast. There's certainly plenty of self-help gurus out there. And listen, I don't care what you're listening to help you be the best. That's great, because that's what we're all trying to do, or that's what we're supposed to be trying to do. And this podcast is going to help you do just that. But we're going to do it with a terrific background. We're going to do it when we're on vacation. I'm going to show you how to use travel to your best benefit. I'm going to help you get extra out of your next vacation. And I'm not just talking about an upgraded seat on an airplane or a better cabin on a cruise ship or perhaps the honeymoon suite as opposed to the divorce suite. I don't know what they call those. But I'm talking about getting more out of you and getting more from you. I'm actually talking about what you're going to bring back from that vacation more than I'm going to talk about what you're going to do or feel or be or see while you're there. Hello. Let me repeat that for just a moment. No, I'm not going to repeat it. You can rewind. So what do I ask of you? I ask of you to just join us. You know, and heaven forbid. Now, yeah, I'm going to give you some tangible things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a fantastic three-day weekend, extended weekend in a fantastic location that you probably haven't been to, but has been around since before the turn of 1800. And you just don't know that it exists. But I'm going to help you with that today. That's very specific, okay? That's our guest that's going to be on the program today. So we're going to do that. Also, in every single one of these episodes, you may hear funny things. Now let me back up just a little bit because, again, we're new. You know, I'm certainly not new to doing media, but I'm certain this podcast is relatively new speaking, you know. Relatively speaking, it's new, so you may hear some funny things. Now, the problem with the funny things is that you may be tempted to think that they're real, and then you might say, well, if that's real, if that's not real, what is? Look, we make the funny thing. I may say something funny. That I guarantee I stumble onto that. But most of the time, the funny things that we say are so incredibly ridiculous that you can't possibly think that they're real. Okay, that's the kind of funny stuff that I'm talking about. For instance, we had the CEO and founder of Transnational Airways as a guest. And I know, not you, I'm not saying you, that some of you wanted some more information about Transnational Airways because you actually went online and went to the website URL that we own to find out if that was a real airline. And of course, it's not a real airline. No airline has a periscope on top of their planes. That was one of the things featured in the interview, okay? That was a fake interview. That was funny. It's supposed to be funny. And why? Why in the world would I do that? You should listen to it. If you haven't listened to it, it's actually, I really enjoyed it. But why in the world would I include funny things on a travel podcast? Well, really, am I supposed to take it so seriously? Travel is supposed to be fun. Travel is supposed to be inspirational. It's supposed to be exciting. But I can tell you travel could be very funny. And one of the reasons I can tell you travel could be very funny is because travel also can be incredibly annoying. And it can be very stressful. You know, George Carlin did a whole bit about that. You're bringing your stuff on vacation. You know, you have all this stuff around your house, and now you got to select some of this stuff and put it in a suitcase and bring it to another location. And then you got to bring a smaller bag to put some of the stuff that you put. I mean, it's funny. It's supposed to be funny. Again, I will try my best to give you a little red flag or a warning if we're going to do a fake guest or whatever. Speaking of which, this portion of the Best Travel Podcast Ever is being brought to you by Summer's Evening Hand Detoxifier. Haven't your hands had enough of this pandemic? Finally, organic detoxifying relief for your hands in a convenient non-toxic spray, lotion, or gel. Perfect for the casual airplane passenger, Summer's Evening Hand Detoxifier can be used on your hands, feet, face, teeth, gums, armrest, tray table, seatbelt, or seatmate. Visit handdetox.com and receive a 10% off discount for ordering your first case if you mention Eric the Travel Guy. That's handdetox.com. Okay, now, can we just take a moment? Do you really think that's a real product? Of course it's not. We're having a little fun. We're supposed to be having a little fun. And one of the reasons I love to have fun is because it's a little trick that I use. And again, we're going to get to our family travel destination with our guest here shortly, so bear with me on that. And listen to the whole thing. Don't just tune in just for that one thing. Come on. This is supposed to be, come on now. Come on. One of the reasons I love comedy and humor so much is because it's a trick that I use sometimes to eradicate boredom. And I'd like to talk about that concept for just a moment. Now, I'm not a clinical psychologist. There's plenty you can read on this subject matter. But let me be clear, and this ties into what we're talking about today, especially with the kids. How many times have you heard the kids say, "I'm bored"? It's a very kid thing to say. They're bored. They've moved on. They've concluded the previous activity. They have not started the new activity. And they've announced to the world and their world, which is you as a parent, that they are bored. Now, if I said I was bored growing up, my mom had a real-time, ever-changing list of things to do if I announced that I was bored. You don't really realize that until later on. If I said, for instance, on like a Tuesday at 4 o'clock that I was bored, my mom would say, "Oh, great, go downstairs and get the black clothes from the dryer, put the white clothes in the dryer, make sure to hang up the things that need to be hung up and not dried, and on your way upstairs, get me a large tumbler of ice water and check the front because I think the mail came and I'd like to look at the mail too." Like, hello. And bring the stuff up from on the steps that I placed there earlier today. Again, that list would be ever-changing. Now, I believe that bored is a state of mind. And I'm sure you could possibly agree with that. It's almost humorous if you think about it. Like, we're adults, for heaven's sakes. Why in the world would we be bored? Well, actually, I think there's something a little more insidious going on here. By the way, you're listening to the Best Travel Podcast Ever. I am Eric the Travel Guy. Thank you. It's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also listen to this podcast on YouTube as well at ericthetravelguide.com. I believe that being bored is a far more insidious thing going on. And not every time necessarily, but let me tell you something. When I arrive at the conclusion that I am bored, that usually happens after I begin in activities that do not support being the best that I can be. Saying that I'm bored is like hearing the overture to a Broadway musical of bad decisions that are about to take place. Now, I'm not saying watching Netflix for 4.5 hours is a bad decision. You can choose to do that consciously. But if you're doing it because sometimes we're doing it to avoid doing other things, you know, or sometimes we're using it as an excuse to, oh, let me think. I can almost hear it like it was yesterday. I'm bored. I want some Cheetos. Oh, I'm bored. I should smoke some cigarettes. Oh, I'm bored. I should have a cocktail. You know what I mean? Not every time. But be on the lookout. The only thing I would ask of you today is to just be aware of it. And that is one of the things that robs you, whether you're on vacation or at home. It could be an issue that is a symptom of a larger issue. whatever. I think that's one of the things that people sometimes forget. Look, you know, we're trying to be the best parent we can be. We are striving to be the best human we could be. We're responsible with our money, responsible with the environment, responsible with our career and our jobs, and to be loving husbands and loving wives or loving girlfriends or brothers or whatever. You know, that's what we're really trying to do, essentially, day to day. And the reality of it is when you travel, if you've got problems at home, they're going to follow you. Don't be fooled into thinking that you can escape your problems by traveling. You can't. If you're in a crappy relationship at home, well, you're going to bring that crappy relationship with you on the road and onto your vacation. And we've seen it. We've seen the arguments that come up when we're on vacation. And we think to ourselves, my gosh, I'm glad that's not me. And then we're engaged in some ridiculous argument hours later or days later. Why? Well, because we mistakenly thought that all of our problems would be fixed if we go on vacation. Well, that's not exactly true. Now, maybe you go on vacation with somebody, and this has actually happened to me. I've been in a relationship before I was married, and I've gone on vacation with somebody, and that vacation pushed me over the edge to realize I don't want to be in a relationship with this person anymore. That is one thing that you can bring back home. Or you could bring back home the idea that, you know what? I need to work a little harder on this relationship. I need to do a little more. I need to be a little more. I need to be a little better here. I need to disconnect from the phone. I need to stop scrolling on the TikTok. And I need to be a little more whatever it is. You know, again, these are not earth-shattering issues. That's what makes them insidious. They're sort of passive. But they're robbing you of your true potential. And that's the part that I find to be the most disgusting. So you can go on vacation and you can put yourself in a frame of mind. So if you find yourself saying at the house, hey, I'm bored, no problem. Get yourself a list and make a list of things that you could do or be or see or partake in should you arrive at the conclusion that you're bored. Pull that list out of your wallet, out of your purse, out of your shorts, read it, choose something, and move on. Putting yourself in the right frame of mind is part of the vacation process. It's not really talked about a lot because we're kind of viewing ourselves, because on the surface it kind of makes sense. Well, this is going to be me experiencing this thing, as opposed to let me embrace this thing and let this thing be a part of me. And in doing so, perhaps I will unlock some secret. I will unlock an answer. I will unlock a roadmap to something. I am open to the notion of, you know, maybe I need to drop 20 pounds. Maybe I need to stop smoking crack. Whatever. That's part of the vacation process. It sounds clinical. But man, oh man, have I seen people's lives changed. And the reason I've seen it, I've seen it. I mean, they tell me about it. They email me. They send me notes on our YouTube channel, on Facebook, on Instagram. They talk about how they came back from this place and it changed them for the better. Sometimes for the worse. Sometimes, you know, there's some drama there. Again, I don't mind I'd love it if you would watch every episode of Beyond Your Backyard. That's the television series we do for PBS. I'm incredibly proud of that series. But again, I don't want you to use my program as an excuse to not get off your ass and do something or be something or, you know, move your life forward. If you're consciously deciding to do it, then so be it. But I got to tell you, I have seen it. And it is possible to better yourselves, to bring back something incredibly powerful and incredibly meaningful from vacation if you are open to that idea. Maybe not necessarily looking for it, just open to it. I'm going to take you down to the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, in a matter of moments. All you have to do is stay with me.
The best travel podcast ever will return after this. You're listening to the best travel podcast ever with Eric Hastings.
Well, that's very true. Thank you very much, and welcome back. It is the best travel podcast ever. That's the name of the show. There's not much I can do about it. It's already named. We've moved on. I am Eric, the travel guy. You can call me Eric. That's fine. And thank you, by the way, for listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you receive your podcasts. You can also watch the podcast on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. It's Eric, the travel guy. And if you forget all that, just go to ericthetravelguy.com. All right, now listen, how many times have you looked at your spouse and said, oh my gosh, we have got to do something with the children this weekend, next weekend, in the coming weeks? What are we going to do? I have the perfect suggestion for you. You call my friend Cam and he'll come pick up your children, and then the rest is history. Cam Huffman is here from the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Mr. Huffman, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
It's good to talk to you, too. And just because you've dropped off your children with me before doesn't mean anybody can do it.
See, that's a very select group. Yes, in the interest of full disclosure, I need everyone to be aware that Cam and I have been friends for, well, coming on a number of years now. I would call it a forced friendship that was meant to be. Wouldn't you say that, Cam?
That's one way to describe it, for sure. Yeah.
I think that's terrific. You have been with the Greenbrier for how long?
A little more than 5 years.
A West Virginia native, if I got it right in the bio. Does that sound about right? And you know what I have learned about the great state of West Virginia is that not a lot of people live there, but there's a lot of space, and most of it is absolutely gorgeous.
It is absolutely a beautiful state, and there's a lot of things to do here, and I think people, you know, may have some perception of West Virginia that may or not be true, but once they come to visit, I think that they do find out that the people are great and there's a lot of wonderful things to do here.
Yeah, there is that sort of, and again, you and I, and of course people listening wouldn't know this, but you and I have enjoyed the luxury of being able to essentially work anywhere in the world, or certainly here in the United States, but you have gravitated towards that state and you've stayed there, and that's a testament to the people and obviously the opportunity, and I think the scenery has something to do with it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think it's one of those things, you know, you grow up in a place and you think, I can't wait to get out of here. You can't wait to go out of here. And when you experience more and more places and see the world, sometimes there's something that pulls you back home and maybe you see it in a different light. That's sort of the way it happened for me.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. For somebody listening today who has not been online, maybe they've been living under a rock since the late 1700s, what is the Greenbrier? I mean, it's such a legendary name in the hospitality industry, certainly in the lodging industry and the travel industry. But for somebody outside of that, what is it? How do you describe it?
Yeah, you would think that would be an easy question, but for the Greenbrier, it's really not, because the Greenbrier is so many things. It's a historic place. It dates back to, as you said, the late 1700s, and has a history that includes being an army hospital during World War II, and had a Cold War bunker that still exists under the West Virginia wing of the property that can be toured today. But overall, I think it's a great place for families to come get away. It's a luxury resort. And more than 700 rooms, and there's so many things to do. It's I know you and I have both at times described it as a cruise ship on land. It really, in a lot of ways, has that cruise ship feeling where there's all the things to do that you might associate with a cruise ship, but you can do it all right here in beautiful West Virginia.
You see, this is how I knew our friendship was going to work out just fine, because I would say that in meetings and get ostracized and made fun of. When you say it, apparently they let you still say that. So when you say it, everything, oh, well, Cam said it, so it's got to be true. So I see how this is going to work. It's not a problem. but it's true. But
I don't know. I just say what I say and just see what happens after that.
Let the chips fall where they may.
That's right.
I remember vividly coming down there for the first time, and my children have been there, of course, a number of times over the years, and we keep coming back there. There's something unique, and there's something special that goes way beyond, you know, someone taking care of you and housekeeping and restaurants and lounges and activity. There's something beyond that there. And you certainly do feel it. Do you still feel it when you walk that property, which is not small? What is it, 11,000 acres or something crazy?
Exactly, 11,000 acres. And yes, I certainly do. And I think what makes it special, as you mentioned, I'm a West Virginia native that came back here to the Greenbrier. but so much of the staff here are have been in this area for generations. Their moms and dads and grandparents, multiple generations, have worked here, and they take such pride in the Greenbrier that they take their jobs so seriously. You know, we kind of pride ourselves on our hospitality, but a lot of places do. But I think at some places you can feel whether or not that hospitality is real. And I think here it is, just because the place means so much to these people, and they want to share it with others. And as we were mentioning kind of there in the opening, some people might not know much about West Virginia or have an impression of it, and they want to make a positive impression and show why they love this state and why they love this area and why they love the Greenbrier.
Well, if they're coming from New York, they certainly could take a private flight. You've got an airstrip there in a town called Lewisburg, or you could drive down there. It's a day's drive. You know, it's interesting to me. It's interstate. It's a very easy drive. You and I have made that drive a number of times, back and forth to D.C., to Baltimore, to Washington, to Philly. It's to New York. It's an easy drive. And again, talk about dipping your toe in the water. You can also fly to Charleston as well, which is, what, 90 minutes, I think, right? 90 minutes-ish? A couple hours?
Yeah, it's about 90 minutes. Yep,
yeah, right. When you drive over from Charleston. But again, the reason I mention that is because it's almost like dipping your toe in the water. We say West Virginia, yet the Greenbrier and White Sulphur Springs, which is the town in it, or I don't know how to describe whether or not the Greenbrier is in White Sulphur or White Sulphur is at the Green. I don't understand that. But my point is, it's right over the Virginia border.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And Eric, I don't know when the last time you were here, but White Sulphur Springs is seeing a resurgence of its own right now. There's whole downtown area, new shops and new restaurants, and it's really sort of added to the Greenbrier experience.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because so many times when you see this type of property, and there's not that many of them that have survived over the years, but when you see this type of property, a lot of times what you'll find around that property, sometimes you'll see, I don't want to say poverty, but you'll see, you know, it's kind of the dilapidated kind of, you know, the rest of the time is kind of forgotten parts of the landscape. And yet White Sulphur Springs is a perfect example of a town that absolutely needed life and energy and passion put into it. And it is really different, isn't it?
It really is. Just this week, we have the new brewery right downtown. And
so there's a perfect for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm fortunate enough to live pretty close to it. So, but yeah, it's amazing just the new shops in the last year and a half that have popped up in downtown White Sulphur Springs. And obviously, we pride ourselves on the Greenbrier of that you never have to leave property for anything. But right. If you want to, there's a great place to go. And you know, a lot of people want to experience the town and experience the places around the resort. And Lewisburg, as you mentioned earlier, not far away, is a fantastic town. But White Sulphur Springs has now become a destination on its own. So it's a great place to visit.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned leaving the property, because again, I know these stats. You and I have memorized these stats over the years, and you know, when you start talking about 700 rooms, you start talking about 11,000 acres, an entire sporting club of real estate. You know, so you've got that. You've got X number. How many golf courses? Three.
It depends on how you count them, but you could say as many as five.
Got it. Okay, so you've got, you know, huge golf presence, and it's sacred ground. We could do 20 minutes on golf out there, of course, and for good reason. Spa, and for the children, you've got the infinity pool, you've got the indoor pool. How about the bowling lanes? You can still go bowling there, can't you?
You absolutely can, and the bowling lane is one of several areas that has gotten kind of a new look, refreshed look here recently, and there's new arcade games in there, and it got an updated look. So it's one of the many fun activities. You were talking about those numbers earlier that we memorized, more than 55 activities that you can do around the property.
Yeah, 20 restaurants and lounges. I mean, that's a pretty – and again, when you say this, one of the concerns with a property like this is that it wouldn't be an approachable and or welcoming property for children. And I'm talking young children, babies, up to teenagers, that sometimes that they will get bored, you know, that there's not enough to do. That is absolutely not the case here.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, right before we started talking here, I finished up a children's activity booklet that we're putting together for children who come visit the property. So we absolutely embrace children. It's a great place for families because there's something for every member of the family to do. No matter what your interests are, there's something that you're going to enjoy. And for the kids, you know, we have, you know, the same things for that we have for adults they may enjoy as far as the bowling and tennis and golf and those sort of things. But we have scavenger hunts. We have a toy store. We have a chocolate shop. There's so many things for kids to enjoy. And we have an adventure zone for kids as well. So if the parents want to go off and experience, you know, their own things at the Greenbrier, you can drop off your children at the adventure zone. And it's not just a babysitting service. It's an educational service, and they get to experience a lot of the activities around the property, learn about the history of the property, all those sorts of things while the parents are out enjoying themselves as well. So
yeah,
no matter, you know, whether you want to spend 3 or 4 days with the kids doing activities or you want to kind of spend some time with your spouse and leave the kids with someone else, all those opportunities are available here at Greenbrier.
And you do have actual babysitting services. You know, like that's the other thing that, you know, you can go down and have dinner and go to the casino club and enjoy your evening and somebody will come up to your room, somebody who is trained, somebody who is trusted and staffed, who will come in and say, absolutely, we'll put the kids to bed for you, you know, read them a bedtime story and hang out and read a book for a couple hours while you enjoy yourself.
Yes, and we're constantly, that you're right, that's a great feature, and we're constantly coming up with more and more kids programming. Obviously, yeah. Around the holidays is a great time to bring the kids.
Yes.
We have weekends with Santa every weekend between Thanksgiving and Christmas where Santa reads the kids a bedtime story at night with cookies and milk, and then he comes to breakfast in the morning and all those kind of things. So it's such a special place for kids to make memories with their family that they'll remember forever.
We are talking with Cam Huffman from the Greenbrier. I'm glad you're doing this, Cam. Thank you very much. It is all about bringing the kids down there. It really is an approachable vacation, and it's an easy vacation to take in that you really are participating in. I don't know what the staff count is. It's got to be a couple thousand, right? I don't know if you published that number or not, but it's a lot.
Yeah, it's up close to 2,000 staff members, and they're all here to make sure that everybody's trip lives up to their expectations. We don't want anybody to come and have heard about the Greenbrier and kind of built up their expectations and come here and not have those expectations met. So everybody takes that very seriously.
Well, and everybody plays their part too. And the reason I mentioned the staff count is that, of course, you know, the Greenbrier, because it's so large, has its own private security staff, has its own fire station, has its own, like, it really is like a small little city. You know, safety and security, while the Greenbrier is quote unquote open to the public, people can come and visit and certainly not stay the night. Although why wouldn't you, for heaven's sakes? But I mean, it really is a secluded enclave, for lack of a better description.
It really is. And we saw that, and during COVID a little bit, we closed for 2 months right at the beginning of COVID, but as soon as we opened back up, people were flocking here in droves because they did feel that sense of security, and the property is so big and expansive. They didn't feel like they're right on top of people and they could get out and enjoy a lot of the outdoor activities that we have here. And as you mentioned earlier, 710 rooms, some of those rooms are cottages or estate homes. So they didn't have to stay right in the main hotel if they didn't want to. So even in a difficult time for so many people found security in the Greenbrier.
Do I need a car if I drive there? Am I going to need a car to drive around the property?
Absolutely not. We have shuttles that will take you anywhere you need to go, where you can enjoy a beautiful walk. Sometimes it's easy to have the convenience of the shuttle, but sometimes it's great to just enjoy the sunshine and the beauty of the property and get out and walk. But whatever your preference, we'll take care of you.
And it is a four-season destination. It's worth noting that, you know, obviously Southwest Virginia and West Virginia sees its share of snow, and you are in the mountains. I think, what's the elevation up there? I think that's the other thing. When you drive down there, I'm asking a number of questions, but, you know, when you drive down, you basically drive one of the most boring 4-hour stretches down Interstate 81, but it's pretty, you know, until you get into your neck of the woods and you make that turn onto 64. And I think people are really surprised by the mountains and how tall they really are.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. And during the, you know, as you said, all four seasons are great times to visit, but during the fall, when you see that the fall foliage,
yeah,
the, beautiful colors of the mountains, or even during the winter when you see the snow on the mountains, it's such a pretty drive down, and the property is absolutely beautiful, and our grounds team does a fantastic job of always having, you know, flowers around the property and showcasing the beauty of the area.
And you're a parent. If you didn't work there, would you bring your family there?
Yeah, I absolutely would. And my son, who's 9, loves the property. I mean, he comes anytime he can come, and he enjoys so many different things. Even the culinary side of it, he likes to eat. As you know, a lot of kids are picky eaters, and of course we have the hot dogs and hamburgers and chicken fingers that parents may be looking for. But if your kid has a little more eclectic palate and likes to try new things, he loves that, and he loves just to get out and enjoy some of the activities of golf and tennis and things like that. And you know, I found so many people and families that are excited to try something new, and some of them may be hesitant at first to try something like falconry or off-road driving or one of those sorts of things. But once they do it, they absolutely love it.
Yeah. Cam, thank you for this, my friend. It's always good to talk to you. It's good to hear your smiling, your face. And when people call, they can call the Greenbrier. They can go to greenbrier.com and book their reservation. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Absolutely, my friend. This portion of the Best Travel Podcast Ever is being brought to you in part by My Inflatable Giraffe Travel Pillow. The first post-pandemic inflatable comfort solution, perfect for airplanes, trains, buses, RVs, or your own vehicle. When fully inflated, the My Inflatable Giraffe Travel Pillow measures enough comfort for a reasonably sized family of 4. Go to myinflatablegiraffetravelpillow.com if you can remember how to spell giraffe. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again.
You've been listening to the Best Travel Podcast Ever with Eric Hastings. Don't worry, we will return again.